Well, after the other week, Anna was a bit disappointed that I got to go to a very posh bar in London with Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. We have come to a reasonably posh pub, which has a roaring fire, some nice bit of china, and a view of the Peak District and the hills of Mam Tor and Kinder Scout, if you know what they are. She's sat on a leather sofa with lovely plush cushions, and next to us is some velvet wallpaper. Are you happy with this type of surrounding,
Anna?
I'm
okay with this, yeah.
Yes, okay.
I thought you were taking me to walk that blinking hill. Not being impressed.
Drive her out to the middle of nowhere.
Miss Satnav nearly had a heart attack. We've never been here before.
The thing is, though, like about country stuff, when the lines disappear on the middle of the road, I think that's a pavement.
Yeah. It's so true. I like the alpacas I saw. I saw some sheep, some horses. Yeah.
Are you sure that they were sheep and horses? I mean, after the other week, none of us were quite sure what you were seeing.
They were definitely sheep and horses.
Yeah. Anyway, in our romantic, lovely setup here, a nice quiet getaway, we have come to ponder things and reflect on where we have been on our own diet quests over the years. Fads, fashions, all kinds of things is the topic of the episode this week. And it's funny, isn't it? Because we kind of wrote up a list between us about like the different types of diets that are out there. So where's my list? All right, I was putting low carb.
Done it.
Done it, yep. Calorie counting.
Done it.
Detox cleansers.
Done it.
Food specific diets.
Oh boy, have I done it.
Which ones have you done?
Cabbage soup.
Yeah.
There's a one that I won't name, but where it was egg and beetroot based.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh,
the wind.
God.
Yeah.
Gosh, meal replacements.
Oh,
I did the shakes.
Oh, I've done the shakes. I've done the shakes, and then like you get the bars, and then sometimes you get like a soup or a calorie controlled meal that's like you'd get on the spacecraft. You know those dehydrated ones?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, I had the ones that were like kind of, yeah, just powder.
Yeah.
And then you add some water.
Yeah. And then you're allowed an apple three times a year and you feel like, oh my God, this is amazing.
They just made me hangry.
Mm.
I was a miserable.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, I'm not very nice. Divorce worthy.
And then there's like the intermittent fasting, which seems to become like more trendy in recent years.
Yeah, I don't think I've never tried that specifically because I think it was before my food optimizing time. I've just tried binging and starving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a technical term. Yeah. Sugar-free diet, keto diets, raw food, alkaline diet. I don't think I did that one.
Oh, no, I did one where it was very high fat.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there literally is so many types of diets out there. And often, I think as slimmers, we do turn to these in times of despair when we just want a quick fix. We want it to all go away instantly, don't we?
Yeah, I've tried pills. I've tried appetite suppressants, like, you know, diet pills and all of
really?
That. Yeah.
And like, were they from a legit place or just crazy ones online?
No, legitimate, but I've had friends that weren't legitimate and got very, very, very sick.
It's really scary, isn't it, actually? And I think what we were also thinking about was how confusing the messaging is around all of this as well, because quite often, you know, while Slimming World's been around 50 years, there's a lot of stuff that kind of comes in and out of fashion and is the rage and everyone's talking about it and everyone's doing it. And yeah, it can feel quite appealing when you just want to kind of jump on the bandwagon and just get the weight off.
When you're desperate.
Yeah,
I was on social media the other day and someone talking about doing something with this special coffee-based drink or something. And it's just like, when you're desperate, you will try anything. You know, I've tried taking spices and lemon juice and everything. And actually, what I had to remember is that's not going to work because you're going to start eating again at some point. And you may initially lose weight, but I remember on one of them, I fainted on the beetroot and egg. I remember being on the top of the bus and I don't think I'd eaten a meal in about 5 days and fainted. But I used to want to feel that almost emptiness because then I knew I was losing weight.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young and... I was young and stupid and I really felt like I was going to get the body I wanted by doing these crazy things.
Yeah, you know what? It's even like the weird things that you kind of catch yourself saying, like, you know, being stuck in the past or like kind of holding on to old beliefs that actually you know aren't true, but they're just things that you've always done. Like, I was very afraid when I first joined Slimming World to eat in the evening.
A lot of people.
So I would go to bed hungry, and I didn't really understand the concept that I could eat when I'm hungry, just stay full.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd get to like 7 o'clock, I'd have my tea, and then I wouldn't eat anything, and I'd be starving by the time I got up in the morning. So it's kind of like, checking those weird beliefs. Okay, where's that come from, and why do I think that? Is it true anymore?
Yeah, it's that sneaky subconscious, isn't it, that we've talked about in previous episodes, that tells you, in order to lose weight, this is too good to be true, so I've got to try something a bit more drastic. Like, I couldn't possibly lose weight and be full. I couldn't possibly lose weight and eat pasta. I couldn't possibly lose weight and still enjoy wine. Like, it's crazy, isn't it? So you think, I've got to be deprived, I've got to eat hanging things, and I've got to be punished. Yeah. It goes back to punishment. All those things we've just mentioned before, punishing, aren't they?
Yeah.
They were in my life.
I had had a quick look actually at some of the headlines on some online newspapers just from the last few weeks, right? So here's what some of them said. One said, yes, you can go on a diet and still be a good feminist.
What?
Ouch. More evidence, up to an egg a day may not raise health risk.
Okay. Sweet.
Eating healthy does make you glow due to pigments in vegetables such as carrots. Like, you know what I mean? So forget the fake tan, just eat crap loads of carrots. A dietitian reveals whole grain bread has just as many nutrients as a pricey artisan loaf. I mean, it's like, you know, this stuff, we all know it's out there. And particularly slimmers, we do notice this because our minds turned on to it. But it's like, it just becomes overwhelming because then you turn the telly on and they're talking about some new research, and then you open the paper and there's a new survey out, and it just gets so confusing.
And then you see like one of the celebrities, young people that they, you know, they follow, and they've done this, they've cut this out, and they've got in this bikini, and it just promotes such wrong information, doesn't it? I think, and not sustainable.
Yeah.
These things will all make you lose weight.
What I find really interesting, okay, is and I think it's like it comes up a lot in group where people are talking about how they try and trick the system.
Oh, yes.
Like,
I'm the queen of it.
I'll do Claire's world.
Yes.
Anna's world.
Yeah.
Where we'll like kind of take a bit of something we used to do and then a bit of the plan, and then we'll kind of say, well, I'll probably get away with that.
Yeah, I'm really optimizing ish.
Ish is the word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's kind of interesting. But also, you know, if the weight starts to slow, then that's when the doubt creeps in. And that's when you think, oh, this is absolute rubbish. This plan doesn't work for me. Or the other thing is thinking that just being fat is something that falls in the family, or
the
is
genes.
Just, you know, it's just how I am, and that's how I've always been, and I'm never going to change. And that's the end. This plan is never going to make a difference.
Yeah, I think, and the thing about questioning the plan, I think sometimes what we don't do as slimmers is question ourselves and not enough. Sometimes it's easier just to say the plan doesn't work than we don't work the plan.
Yeah.
The moment I came to peace with the fact that actually if I did the plan 100%, I'd get amazing weight losses, was almost like a burden lifted, because I wanted to apportion blame that the plan would never work, so I didn't really have to do it because I was scared of failing.
Yeah.
And I don't think until you dig deep, you realise those things. It's very interesting, isn't it?
No, it is pretty interesting. So the thing, right, is that, as most people know, I've been really quite struggling recently on the plan. I just hit a bit of a plateau. It's going up and down and up and down, but not really moving forwards.
Yeah.
And like the kind of the fad and the trick in the system, it's something that's kind of, I know subconsciously has been on my mind.
Yeah.
So then when we went to the Slim World head office and we were having a chat with them about people that we could talk to and stuff that we could find out, it was really exciting, wasn't it? When they said to us, look, why don't you talk to someone in our nutrition team? And you get to ask some of these questions that, you know, are on our minds, that we think that people who are listening to the podcast will want to know, that members would want to know, get a bit of an insight into, well, what actually goes into this food optimizing? Because I think I'm probably, if I'm honest, at that point where sometimes I just need that reassurance that, okay, this does work, just keep going.
Yeah.
It will come off within time.
I think you forget when you're a consultant, you're like you're like a stick of rock, and in the middle it says Slimming World, so you don't doubt it because you just know it.
Yeah.
You know it works, you've had the experience of it working, watching thousands of people do it. But then I forget members, you're human and you haven't been injected with that belief almost to the degree that we all have as consultants. So sometimes we just need to really give strength to your belief sometimes. And I think that's why knowing all the teams we've got at head office behind us might strengthen that kind of belief system that you've got. That actually, this is based on true science. I like science. I really do. Science reassures me because then I know if it's got a scientific basis, it can't fail. Do you feel a bit the same with science?
I mean, you know, I'm a nerd. I love my research. I like to know.
Nerd.
Okay, I'm a geek. That's cooler.
I'd say fascinated.
Fascinated. Mm-hmm. I like the way that you said that. You enjoyed that word, didn't you?
I really did enjoy that.
She actually closed her eyes a little bit when she said it. There was like pleasure.
Oh, God. I didn't realise, Claire.
Fascinated.
Alternative podcast on another channel.
We're not in the car for once.
I
come
know.
On. We're meant to be in our best behaviour.
Yeah, but we're in a pub where the man's just shot the curtain across us.
I know. It's like they're kind of ostracising us.
I know, and then men keep popping their heads in.
What kind of corner of the pub is
where
this?
Where are we? What does it say on that curtain?
Anyway, we're digressing.
Yeah, sorry. People hate that when I do it.
So, stay on message, stay on message.
Okay. Weight loss.
Stay on track. Stay on plan. As we said, went to Slim World head office and said, can we talk to someone? And amazingly, they did offer us someone. And her name's Carolyn, and she's awesome. And she's worked at Slim World for years and years and years. And we just got to sit down and ask her some of these questions about the messaging, you know, also about like updating, like when do things, get the speed symbol, what do they have to do, you know, getting the increase in healthy extra A came in a couple of years.
Wow,
why did that come? The messaging around tipping point and alcohol, I mean, there was stuff about sugar. The conversation we had was just in the canteen at Slim World, and it was just eye-opening. So, you know, you get to listen to that in a moment. But before you do that, if there's one thing that you can do just whilst you're listening, just make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure that you follow the podcast if you're on Spotify, and leave us a review if you can. We know so many of you are leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts, and we're truly grateful for that, because that's enabling us to be in the top 20 podcasts for health and fitness in the UK right now. So we're really excited about that, and you're helping us reach other people who might be doing the plan, maybe tricking the system online, at home, on their own. So we're getting to reach those people. And if you do have any questions for us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, or on Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast.
Also, don't forget our back catalogue, because there are so many. I've lost count how many episodes we've done now.
60-something.
It must be 67, 68. Oh, I don't know. Lost count. But you can go back and listen to them all, and there's a bit of blurb that tells you what it's about. So if you need to kind of give yourself a little kick, or you need some support in a certain area, there is a plethora to get back and look in. Share with your friends, your family, your Slimming World group members as well. We love your support, so thank you so much.
Yeah. So sit back, have a cup of tea, and listen to our conversation with Carolyn. Right, we're in the Slimming World canteen. It's nice and quiet, nice and clean, but there's a smell in the air. I want to say maybe it's like kind of a bolognese potato-y.
I think it's a jacket spud.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm loving the smell.
Nice roasted one.
Someone who's got a better nose than us, I'm sure. Yeah. Carolyn, what are you getting taste of there?
I'd go with the jacket potatoes. Yeah. Every day when I sit in here for meetings, I smell those jacket potatoes and it makes me want to have one every day. So I'm going with that. It's, yeah, it's the way they cook them. They're delicious.
So thanks for joining us.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
Who are you and what do you do?
Now can you come to sit next to us?
Yeah, so I'm Carolyn Pallister. I'm a dietitian by background. I work within the health, nutrition and research team here at Slimming World. Mm-hmm. My title here is public health manager, but I work among a team of nutritionists, dietitians and researchers.
Wow. So like how many people are actually in your team? Because in my head, I imagine like hundreds of people. Like, I've not even really seen the office where you sit. And they're literally like three people in a nice plant in the middle or something.
So we're in a lovely open plan office, but our department, there's 11 of us in total, some of which of us are part-time, but 11 of us in total, yeah. So we've got, yeah, like I said, a mixture of a few nutritionists, a few dietitians, a few researchers, some with a psychology background as well. So a nice mix of people.
Okay. Yeah. And so like, have you always been a dietitian in Slimming World, or have you moved around and done loads of different things?
So it varies within the team. For myself, so I first came here as a student when I was studying at Leeds Metropolitan University at the time. It's now called Leeds Beckett. That's why I stumbled. So I was studying there and studying dietetics. It's a 4-year course. Came here on a placement, which was originally 10 weeks. I think I stayed for about 6 months because I loved it and managed to like wangle it around my holidays and things. And then when I graduated, there was a job going and I got it. So I've been here now for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
So when I first started, there were just three of us in the department. Jackie Lavin, who heads up the department, colleague Amanda Avery, who's a dietitian, and then myself as well. Mm. So I first started as nutrition coordinator, I think my title was.
Wow.
And I've had the kind of luxury of working in that role and then moved to do a bit of research as well. I then managed the referral partnerships that we've got as well for a few years. So that's where the NHS are actually able to refer patients into our service. And then now in the kind of public health role where I, as well as doing the nutrition side of things, also look after our health policies. So help to kind of look after our members that have got diabetes or pregnant members, that type of thing.
Mm. I mean, it's fascinating to know. I mean, Anna knows this more than me as a consultant about the amounts of these health booklets and the new research that's kind of coming out all the time, the partnerships that you have. I mean, what are you kind of able to tell us about some of the research that you've been up to? Has there kind of been like particular surveys or research that you're kind of really quite proud or has even surprised you as someone who's been, you know, dipping in this world for quite a long time?
It's great. It's great working here and it's great that we have the opportunity to do so much research. So much goes on behind the scenes that people don't always know about, I suppose. Mm. So we do all sorts of research from member-based surveys where we might survey members, for example, members with diabetes, to find out how they're finding food optimising and fitting in the kind of dietary advice that they get from their healthcare team into food optimising. Mm. So we'll do that to see how they're getting on, make sure that members are seeing success, which they absolutely are, and then kind of look if there's any tweaks we might need to make to our information to make sure they're getting the best from the service, right through to kind of much more rigorous research studies where people are invited to come into labs and eat food optimizing meals and we look at how full and satiated they feel after that meal, and that side of things. So a real variety. We also take the research really seriously as a company. It's really important that our plan is evidence-based, is safe and sound for people to follow. So for example, just recently we worked with the British Nutrition Foundation. We asked them to kind of independently review food optimising for us to make sure that it is nice and healthy and safe and sound for our members. It absolutely is. It came back with that. They gave us a few pointers where we could make a few tweaks to the plan, which we absolutely did. They also gave us some pointers around kind of our health tips, where we could just give members those extra kind of pointers for how to make sure it's nice and healthy, which we absolutely take on board then. Anything that we learn through research, it absolutely comes into Food Optimising.
So your team's the team that's responsible for us getting a healthy an extra healthy, extra A choice, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, and is that from, so the British Nutrition Foundation came back and said, all looks good, but maybe bump it up to get you, make sure you're getting your 700 milligrams calcium.
Yeah, that's part of it, absolutely. So as part of their project, they reviewed food optimising, they reviewed some of our meal plans. We also looked at some food diaries of members to look at how members interpret the plan. Mm. And when we looked at it, we felt that for some members, they might have been falling a little bit short on calcium. Right. Not necessarily any more short than you would be if you weren't following food optimising in the kind of general population, but just to make sure that we're protecting members' calcium intake, we decided that we could absolutely afford to allow members a second healthy extra choice to protect their calcium intake, but also we know that they'll still be able to lose weight with it, so kind of finding that balance.
It was a brilliant day the day that happened, really was. When we found out as a team of consultants, we all stood up and cheered.
You can eat more.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a really reassuring thing to know where that's come from, isn't it? Because, you know, if you don't know about the team that's here, you may think we've conjured this up, you know, and just kind of given it to you, but it's a really lovely thing. I did it when I was pregnant, and the fact that you guys work so hard to be kind of reassured with the Royal College of Midwives, it must be a lovely thing to be part of that and know that people are safe.
Yeah, absolutely. We work so closely with the Royal College of Midwives to make sure that everything is safe and sound for our pregnant mums and new mums as well when they're breastfeeding. And it's lovely in our roles. I mean, I get to work really closely with the Royal College of Midwives, talk to midwives all the time, and so many of them are so supportive of what we do and kind of, you know, suggest to the women in their care that coming along to Slimming World would be a great thing. So it's great to be able to do
it. Lovely thing to watch.
Let me just pick up on, so you were talking about some research that you did with Leeds, mm-hmm. one of the universities, yep. And it was about the calorie controlled mm-hmm. diets, because yep. you know, that's obviously something that comes up again and again. There's so many different fad diets that we hear of, and the ones that we've tried. Yeah. but calorie is like such a big focus, isn't it, even on the food labeling. So with that particular research, just kind of talk us through, like, how did it work, calorie counting versus food optimizing?
Absolutely, you're right. So calorie counting has been around for years, mm. and people often come back to that. And obviously with food optimising, we kind of take care of the calorie side of things for members, so you don't need to worry about counting absolutely everything that passes your lips. So we worked with the University of Leeds to conduct a study to look at members following food optimising versus some people who were recruited to follow a standard calorie controlled diet. So the study involved two levels, really. People were invited to come into what we call like a lab at the university, where people had their meals cooked for them, breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm up for that.
Can you give
lab.
Us a call?
Yeah.
Where they had
Did
to
they do the washing up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, they went to sleep.
Not
magazine.
Quite. Although you did get sent home with a snack pack of things to eat at home. So
literally, yeah. That's what we need.
Next time you need two recruits.
So members came in to the lab. They were kind of given breakfast to eat, which was a food optimising meal, and then had to rate on a number of scales how full they'd felt after it, how satisfied, how much they'd enjoyed the meal, that type of thing. A few weeks later, they were invited in again to eat again a breakfast, but it wasn't a food optimising breakfast, it was a calorie controlled breakfast. So the members were given the same number of calories in both of those meals, but a very different volume of food, because what we know about food optimising is you can eat a lot more food for fewer calories because of the science that's behind it. So that's what happened within the lab. Those members then also were asked to follow food optimising at home or follow the calorie controlled diet, and kind of over a 12-week period, those members that were following food optimising lost more weight overall. Wow. They also told us they felt much more in control of their food, much more satisfied and full. So really showing that the food optimising eating plan can kind of take control of, can help members to reduce their calorie intake without having to worry about counting everything that passes their lips, which we know is just not sustainable long term.
And I guess eating healthier as well. So for me, I've done calorie control diets and I would end up eating crisps and chocolate because I had the calories to spend on that, when actually there was no fruit and no vegetables when I food optimised, because that choice was there and a better one, that's the one I took. It's absolutely very interesting, isn't it?
So the, you know, if we kind of look at things like, you know, with the science of the way food optimising works, I'm always intrigued, and we get a lot of questions about this with our listeners, about how when some things are speed and some things are free.
Yeah.
So obviously there was Blueberry Gate, which happened, was it last year or the year before?
It was a couple of years ago.
Where all of a sudden Blueberry became a speed. I say all of a sudden, but clearly there's way more that's going into this with your team.
Yeah.
And there was a popular yoghurt brand, which was free and then became a sin. And there was slight meltdown by people getting their head around that. But what is the process that kind of goes behind you testing, updating, like kind of questioning this stuff? Is it done yearly? Is it done weekly? Is it ongoing?
We keep an eye on things all the time. I don't want to say daily, but I guess across the different departments across head office, we absolutely keep an eye on new food products, latest trends, how members are consuming foods, that type of thing. So we obviously take into account the nutritional content of foods, absolutely, and that comes from labs and a book called McCants and Widdowson, this database that's created where they kind of test foods to look at how many calories and fat and protein and things contain. So we look at it very much from a scientific point of view. We also look at it from the point of view of how people consume foods and how filling and satiating they are. So some foods, even if they're quite low in calories, if we know that we can just eat or drink them really quickly and they don't fill us up in any way, then actually they're not going to be very helpful for our weight loss, because we could consume quite a lot of them without them filling us up.
Fruit juice,
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Okay. And again, some of those yogurts you're talking about, actually, they can go down very, very easily without filling us up, and therefore might not be that helpful to our weight loss if we were to be eating 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 a day of them. So it's about just making sure that we're protecting members' weight losses, because that's why people come to us to lose weight, but in a healthy way. So we've got to find that balance all the time, and that's why things change sometimes. Yeah.
I love that. I can just imagine the conversations in the office, like, blueberries are now speed and yogurt's now sin. Like, how big an impact that could possibly be. You never thought it would make the front, front of a paper, did you? Yeah, exactly. It's mental.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility on these decisions?
Huge, absolutely. Everybody does. Yeah, and as you say, the thought and conversations that go into it to make sure we're absolutely doing the best by our members all the time, and making sure that the plan is as up to date as possible all the time is what goes into it. So no decision is taken lightly at all.
I mean, have foods kind of changed over the decades? Like, I guess the way that we farm and that kind of stuff, so that means that actually the nutritional content in foods has changed.
That's a really fascinating area as well. Where we get our foods from can absolutely change, and how in season things are. So fruits, for example, sometimes will have a much higher natural sugar content in some months than others, because of where they come from, what season they've been grown in, kind of the temperatures they've been grown in, all that type of thing. So the data is only ever as accurate as kind of the latest data we can get our hands on, and has to be taken in that context, I guess. Truth is that as long as we're eating kind of a variety of foods and kind of, a variety is really important. Eating as fresh as possible where we can, I think, eating things in season where we can is great, not only kind of from a cost point of view.
We were just talking about that, weren't we?
Also from a sustainable point of view, that type of thing. So it's about just getting an overall healthy, balanced diet.
Why is variety so important? Because you've mentioned that a couple of times. Is it because of boredom? Is it because of health? Is it because of what kind of reasons is it?
All of those reasons, really? I think, really. Yeah, I think that if we can, I mean, there's that saying, and I know they say it a lot often. I've got children in primary school. They'll often come home saying, "I've been told to eat the rainbow." And there's a lot of rationale for that, because the different like fruits and vegetables, for example, that variety give us different nutrients, so we get different benefits from them. So rather than us getting kind of stuck in a rut of maybe eating an apple and
the beige
banana,
carpet. We've all fallen for the beige carpet.
We've been there, the buffet.
Yeah.
Totally.
But even with fruit and veg, we can get into kind of a bit of a routine with, I'll have an apple in the morning, a banana in the afternoon, and that's all I have. If we can encourage people to have a variety, so some red fruit, so some strawberries, maybe eating some courgettes for vegetables, and reds, greens, yellows, all those different things can make sure that we're getting a wide variety of nutrients. So it's definitely from a nutrition point of view, also from a boredom point of view, definitely, because I think when we get stuck in a rut of having the same things, we get bored with what we're eating. I think what's great about food optimizing is that huge variety of foods, which should mean that we never get bored, because there's always a new recipe to try, there's always new foods to try, that type of thing.
Love that.
So you mentioned sugar a few moments ago, and sugar is like kind of the bane of most people's lives, right? Many of us have come to Slim World having become self-admitted
sugar addicts.
Be it drinks, be it chocolate, cake, whatever the hell. And one of the kind of fad diets, I guess, is a sugar-free diet, and people can kind of get quite worried about, well, there's sugar in fruit, so should I not eat fruit? Like, what are your thoughts about the demon that is potentially called sugar? Because I really struggle with it. It's and getting that taste for things, like, I almost kind of compare it to like a hardcore drug.
Oh, do you? I wondered where she was going with that. A hot man or a hardcore drug, one of the two.
I get a little taste and it's like, I just need more. I just can't have a little bit and go. I really struggle with that. And I tried doing treat size chocolate bars, and it just really struggles. So like, what kind of advice does Slimming World really have about sugar? Like, that's sensible, because we read about it so much in the media. And the idea of going sugar-free is just too overwhelming, even for a nerd like me. I don't think I could do it.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Sugar has been in the news now for the last couple of years, and it's not going away. It's something that keeps coming back.
And is it that bad?
It's again, I guess things in moderation. No, it's not that bad. Mm. I think that we have a lot of us, we have started to rely much more on processed foods, and foods have sugar added to them. And I guess if we can avoid too much processed food and too much added sugar, that's what we should be worrying about. I think we absolutely should not be worrying about the sugar that comes from fruit, natural sugars, absolutely not. You know, the fruit that's in the sugar in a whole fruit is bound up in the cells of that fruit with water and with fibre and with vitamins and minerals and all those kind of things, and that's all good for us. That's absolutely fine. The added sugar that might be added to a processed tomato based sauce, for example, where they add that for extra flavour and that type of things, that's the kind of sugar that we should probably be trying to avoid more of, because we don't need it there, and we can cook our own tomato-based sauces without the need to add it. These kind of completely sugar-free diets, they're just not sustainable. They're probably not that healthy, especially if you're telling people to reduce their fruit and veg intake, because we need fruit and veg. That's really good for us with all the other things that comes with it. I guess the reassuring thing for members is that food optimising absolutely naturally helps you to reduce your added sugar intake, because you're cooking from scratch more. You're eating more things like fruits and vegetables, which are absolutely great for us. And the foods that are controlled through SINs are your more high sugar foods. So things like your chocolate, your cakes,
your wine,
exactly. And they are limited, which means that we can still enjoy some, absolutely, within that kind of remit, but not be too worried about having too much. That's what I'd say to members, absolutely.
I mean, it is so interesting about, like, the hidden sugars. Like, we went and did an episode in the supermarket a few weeks ago. Was it last month?
Yeah.
And it was actually a member who was one of our... I was doing an Instagram Live, and I was talking about how I had some spices, a spice rack. And he said, you need to watch out. Some of those on your spice rack have got SINs. And when we looked at the ingredients in the supermarket, we realised, hang on a sec, that's got sugar in.
It's added in. And is that for the extra flavour? Is that why they do it? Like, and it has no real nutritional benefit, does it?
No, it's often flavour enhancing, I guess. Sometimes things can be added in, I mean, on a different subject, but things like salt can be added in from like a preservative point of view as well. So again, it just comes back to that. If things are packaged, you never quite know what's in it. So I think if we can cook from scratch, that's always the best. But then realistically, you can't always do that. But it's just about trying to do that where possible. And you know then you're naturally going to be reducing things like your added sugar intake because you're not buying those things.
Well, salt is an interesting one as well, isn't it? Because, you know, we did an episode about happy hearts, like heart health, and sodium intake is a big part of that, isn't it? I mean, the kind of foods that we should watch out for where sodium is added extra, that, you know...
Yeah, I mean, sodium is added to all sorts.
Like processed.
It's processed food. It's also added to things like staples, like bread, cereals, all sorts of things. So it's about, again, trying to have salt in moderation, I guess. I'd probably say that trying not to add salt during cooking or not adding it at the table is a good tip to go by. Or at least the basis you could do is at least taste the food first and see whether or not you think you need it. Because I think a lot of us have fallen into the habit of, I'm cooking pasta in some water, I must salt that water. But does it need to be there? I know my dad always used to sit down at the table and the salt would be there, and he'd just, you know, cover his dinner in it before even tasting it. So a great tip is actually taste it first. Does it need it? Because you might find that you can wean yourself off it a little bit. You don't necessarily need as much. And then, it can absolutely be hidden in packaged, processed foods. Ready meals, it can be quite high in some ready meals. It's often quite high in some tinned foods. Even vegetables often might be tinned in salted water, for example. So making sure you're draining them really well, that type of thing, can just help to keep an eye on kind of your salt intake. But again, the benefit of food optimizing is that because you're cooking from scratch, you're in control of how much salt's going into things. So you are a little bit more in control of that then.
Speaking of control, Anna mentioned the W word, which is wine.
Oh yes, I wondered where she was going there.
And this is a clean podcast.
I know. I was thinking you were talking about something else, but hey, but we won't go there.
Alcohol is obviously something which so many members like wrestle with. It's something that they save up their SINs for the weekend. They need, you know, their glass of wine for the treat, or when they're going out with the girls, the cocktails or something. I mean, like, you know, there's been quite a big push with Slimming World with research in the last year about alcohol and safe amounts, and like, what what kind of advice is it, and what is the kind of the science of how our alcohol intake impacts our weight loss as well?
Yeah, alcohol can absolutely have a big impact for so many people and for so many members, as you say. It's something that we want to enjoy and don't want to feel we want to live without. I guess from someone's point of view, absolutely, we've been doing a lot of kind of looking into alcohol and the impact it has on members' lives for a long while, because we know it's, alongside food, it's another area that kind of can mean that members struggle with their weight loss. Alcohol contains calories, and I think we forget that sometimes because they slip down really easily. Mm-hmm. Certainly don't fill you up like a food would. Mm-hmm. You know, alcohol at the moment in the supermarkets, for example, doesn't even have calorie labelling, so you wouldn't even necessarily know how many calories are in your average glass of wine or a pint of beer, that type of thing. We did a bit of research a few years ago, actually, called the tipping point research. Love I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that was looking at talking to members about how much do they think they need to drink before they hit what we call their tipping point, which is where they kind of, their plans go out the window, let's say. So kind of,
that's we a lose... polite way of putting it.
All inhibitions go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Anna's boobs are out. My head's in the toilet.
I was talking about just drinking some more. No boobs were coming out.
But absolutely, it goes from, you know, you plan maybe to just have two glasses of wine, but you end up maybe drinking the whole bottle. You then, on the way home, maybe we'll go to that takeaway on the way home because you've, you know, you're feeling that a little bit more peckish, now you've eaten something, all of those things. And I think we've just tried to talk to members about being mindful of that and making a plan for that, because maybe if you know that's what happens to you normally, you can try and plan around that. We really try to help members look at other strategies as well. So some members decide to cut it out completely because they think that's what they want to do. Other members absolutely don't want to do that, and our message is you don't have to cut alcohol out or completely at all.
Just reduce it.
Reduce it, exactly. And there's different ways for doing that. Is it, you know, trying to alternate your alcoholic drinks on a night out with soft drinks, for example, or making your drinks go a little bit further, so making, you know, your wine into a spritzer, that type of thing can work for some people. Having a plan where they think, right, I'm just going to have three drinks and stick to that and then move on to soft drinks. There's different kind of tactics that members tell us work for them, and what we try to encourage through groups and that type of thing is obviously to chat to each other about what's worked for them in terms of reducing their alcohol intake.
Gin in a tin is my group's favourite thing,
right,
like,
because
it's a pre-measured gin and slimline and they're good to go. They know they can kind of protect themselves and have three of those rather than buy the bottle of wine and kind of nail it. I think the units thing complicates people, doesn't it, because they don't quite understand it. But when it comes down to seeing a bottle of wine could be 37 sins and a gin and slimline's only 4, for me that made me swap, made me cut out. So I think demystifying it in terms of, if you drink this you're not going to lose weight, is the way I try and talk about it to my members, because we don't drink anymore, and I think it made my weight loss journey a lot easier because I could nail 3 weeks worth of sins in the first 3 days of my food optimizing plan. So I think it's a really interesting thing to know that you've taken care of that science as well for us, because it's limited within the sins, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so members can feel in control, can still enjoy that drink, but hopefully not then hinder their weight loss.
I think the interesting thing is when I stopped drinking and I substituted for alcohol free things instead, but then I wasn't, because I was thinking, oh, there's no alcohol in it, I was almost tricking myself to think, oh, is this, like, it's not really that many sins, when actually some of the alcohol free beers, they are still
just
about
as many.
Six sins for the big ones. So yeah, it's that kind of way of thinking, okay, if I go vegetarian or vegan then that means it's healthy. That's not always necessarily the way. So it's kind of always checking and questioning things, never kind of resting on your laurels thinking you know it, is the thing I think maybe learned.
I was, like you said, I was the world's worst vegetarian. I thought it was a healthy thing to do, and I just ate cheese and chips. Because, do you know what I mean? I thought cutting out the meat was going to be brilliant. Yeah. The things we get into our head to justify the place we're at is very interesting, isn't it?
So I'm really intrigued, like, what a dietitian actually does. And, like, what is the definition of a dietitian? And, like you know, talk us through, like, a day in the life of. Because you must be, like, on the phone, on the blower to some fascinating people. Like, are you calling up the health secretary on a regular basis? All right, mate.
Have you got just Margaret on speaker?
Yeah, exactly. Like, a day in the life of, what are you doing?
Well, I guess first thing to say is the day in the life of a dietitian at Slimming World is probably quite different to the day in the life of a dietitian that, say, works in the NHS. So dietitians can work in loads of different settings. I feel very fortunate to be able to work here in this setting. So a day in the life here, we work with pretty much all the departments across the business. So we work really closely, for example, with the magazine team in terms of if they're running an article on, let's say, heart health or something, we'll be really involved in that in terms of checking that the content is all safe and sound for members in line with best practice. Sometimes we get to do interviews with journalists for the magazine where they might want to interview an expert, and we're lucky enough to be called the experts and to be able to give that. We work really closely with the digital team on our online programme, and again, in terms of the content and inspirational features, that type of thing.
Like the planners that will read, the pull-out planners in a magazine or a newspaper or something.
Yeah, so that's working with the PR team, and they will kind of secure the slot, if you like, in one of the magazines, and the PR team absolutely do a fantastic job of writing all that content and preparing the menu plan. Our role then is to check it from a nutrition point of view. Not only is it meeting Food Optimising's kind of needs, but also is it going to help make sure that, you know, members are eating a nice healthy balanced diet with it? Have we got plenty of calcium choices within there? Have we got a nice variety? Have we, for some reason, focused on lots of recipes with eggs in, and we think, you know what, we could do with a bit more variety in this menu plan to make sure that it's appealing to people, that type of thing. So we work across lots of different departments. We work really closely with our partnerships department as well, which are the team that secure the kind of NHS referrals to Slimming World. Amazing. So we might work with them on any contracts and bids.
Is that because I don't know what that is as a member? You know, if someone's struggling with their weight, they go see their doctor or district nurse, and then there's like kind of a referral program that they can get help with to come and Slimming World for a limited number of time or something.
Yeah, right. Spot on. Yeah, absolutely. So in some parts of the country where the NHS are funding it, absolutely, you can go and see your GP, and if you meet particular criteria that the GP has set, then you can get 12 weeks free of charge at your local Slimming World group. Wow. So you come along as a normal member, but yeah, you just don't pay for those 12 weeks.
We just got it where we are in Manchester. Right, but it's not everywhere in the country, is it? No. It depends on the PCT, doesn't it?
It depends on the local kind of commissioning decisions that they're making. I believe we've got about 80 live schemes across England.
So we're obviously talking a lot about, like, you know, what your role is here in the company and in the office, but that's kind of almost behind the front line, so to speak. But I know that you've also been and sat in groups and heard what members are saying and kind of felt and listened to and kind of reacted to, like, the impact that the plan really has. Like, what did you learn from kind of going and sitting in group?
I think groups are just fantastic. I love going along to meet members, to meet consultants, and to see that genuine kind of community spirit that you get in all of our groups. And I love the fact that I've been to groups, you know, across the country, right from the kind of group on Oxford Street in the centre of London, you know, out to one that's maybe much more in a rural community, and actually they've all got the same buzz about them, which is just lovely. I think what it reminds us when we go out to those groups is that, you know, absolutely the reason we're here doing our job is for those members and to help those members get the weight losses that they absolutely want to achieve, and also to support consultants in the fab job that they do. So it really, going out to group really brings to home for us kind of how important it is that we get things right for people, and that it's kind of based on as much sound evidence but also kind of common sense as well, that it's going to work from a member's point of view. I mean, we're really fortunate working here that we get to eat in the restaurant every day, and kind of you know, our meals are food optimized for us, if you like. We can choose from a variety of meals every day, and we absolutely don't take that for granted. We know how lucky we are to have that. But again, when you sit in group and you hear of the kind of challenges that members are facing when they've got to, you know, pack up a lunch that's food optimising friendly, but they haven't got any facilities at the office to kind of warm stuff up or cook stuff, it absolutely reminds us of we need to make sure that the plan is super flexible, that we're giving as many tips and practical advice to members as well to help them to stay on track through kind of the challenges of day-to-day life, I guess.
So, I mean, like, what would your advice be? Let's just say there's someone listening to this, and yes, they go to group, and that's like an hour and a half every week, but for the rest of the week, they're still reading the magazines, they're still turning on the telly, they're still flicking through Facebook or online media and being inundated with all of these kind of confusing messages. Like, what would your advice as a dietitian be to someone who sometimes might feel a little bit confused or overwhelmed with the information out there?
I can absolutely relate to that. I think you can't go a day without seeing a new headline in the newspapers, or certainly with, you know, the internet as well nowadays. You can't even log on to your Facebook account or anything without seeing the latest diet that's been recommended. And You know, I think the headlines are often sensationalised. I think sometimes there's a bit of truth in them, but then the headlines kind of twist it and almost promise that quick fix that we all absolutely want to get. I guess to a member who's kind of looking at all of that, I guess I'd always say take those headlines with a pinch of salt. Do your research yourself if you're interested in
salt,
that.
Salt, salt. You meant to say that. Exactly.
Yeah.
A dietitian, right?
Just take the pinch.
Yeah, like that.
And don't have a glass of wine while you're researching it.
Sorry.
But absolutely, you know, if I think for some of us are really interested in the kind of the theory behind it and the science, that kind of thing. If that's what you're interested in, absolutely look into it.
Or can you take it to your consultant? And, you know, and I'm guessing as a consultant, you can contact the head office team to say, I've just been given this by a member, can I check it out?
I think we've got, we are so lucky. The resources we have are incredible. Like, we don't even need to contact them because we've got a bank of information, haven't we, that you guys write and all the policies. So yeah, I love it as a consultant that we've almost got the power and the strength of your knowledge behind us in Greek, because I think people are scared, aren't they? And we say, look, we've got this team at head office of like 11 people who make sure this is safe. It's quite an empowering thing, isn't it? It's really lovely.
But that is an option that consultants can contact the team and check. So if I, as a member, have a question about something, that is an option.
We have lots of different ways, because I don't want Carolyn to get inundated with like 10 million phone calls. There are different ways, and the consultant would know how to kind of get that information, access to that information. But yeah, I have run Carolyn before when I've been a little bit stuck with something and kind of asked, you know. But yeah, there's so much information for us to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess to reassure you as well, as a team behind the scenes, we're always looking at these latest headlines. I mean, the PR team monitor the press every single day, so we know exactly what those headlines are. If things are kind of gaining pace and looking like they're growing in popularity, like this, for example, the sugar-free diet, like you talked about, you know, that wasn't going away and it was something that people were questioning. We absolutely will do a lot of research into that. Look at what the evidence is versus what the hype is, if you like, and what those myths are. And then we will often put a statement out to consultants and even, you know, through the magazine or other resources out directly to members to give them that reassurance. So I guess I'd reassure you that we are doing that work behind the scenes as well.
Always.
I just want to like pick out a headline that I saw fairly recently with like your science hat on, because I don't get this opportunity to talk to someone who knows what
they're
talking about.
This is like Claire's dream to speak to like a science
However,
geek about it.
I think a lot of us might think, oh, you know, being overweight is in my family, it's in my genes. And like this headline said, genes could be to blame because some people are predisposed to liking food and drinks that are healthier than others. So that also, when you kind of say that, you kind of almost just taking the power away from yourself, aren't you? But, you know, can being overweight be turned around regardless of what your genes are?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of research that goes on in terms of our genetic makeup, and we are all different. That's what makes us unique. And there is some research to suggest that some of us maybe are more predisposed to being overweight. Some of us are more predisposed to being a healthy weight. And like you say, it can kind of impact on the choices we make. The truth is, though, whatever our genes, the way to manage our weight is still the same. It's to eat well, it's to keep active, it's to kind of make those lifestyle changes. So while I can kind of understand that the benefit of us looking at our genes and us understanding more about that in case that helps us to better support people, the truth is at the moment the best thing all of us can do to manage our weight is make those same choices. So I'm not sure what benefit it would give any of us to know whether or not we've got those genes at the moment, because you'd still get the same advice.
Yeah. It ends up being an excuse,
and that's
really
the last thing you want. The last thing you want is somebody to feel completely helpless because of their genes, when actually there's no evidence to suggest that just because you've got those genes you can't successfully manage your weight.
Someone who hasn't got the genes won't gain weight.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it?
That's fascinating. Well, I mean, the only question we've got to ask you really is, what is, well, let's set the scene. Let's create a scene. Okay. you're lighting the candles, the table is set, you've got your best china, the posh knives and forks, not the weird ones that are all bent and they don't match. I'm talking the nice cutlery.
Yeah. No, she's been to mine.
And we're bringing the dessert. It's something sin-free anyway, and a bottle of something to drink. But you're cooking the main meal. We knock on the door. You welcome us. We come and sit at the table.
She's
what
vegan.
Are you serving us?
No,
it's fine. It's okay. I can put that aside for this. It's your meal, your house. What are you cooking? What's on the menu, Carolyn? It's like, come dine with me.
Come dine with me.
What's your go-to?
I'm going to... Okay, so thinking about what I will be having probably one night this week. I'm not sure about tonight. And because I've got two youngish children, so I've got a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. So you're going to have to come into the family and join them around the table. Okay. So it might not be quite as...
Romantic.
I was going to say, it might be a bit more chaotic than that. And we might have candles because open flames might be...
They can be the electric
ones. Blow them out like my little girl. Yeah.
So let's change the scene slightly. But something, so what I try to do where possible is eat as a family, because the last thing I've got is time to cook something different for them and something different for me. I haven't got perfect children that will eat everything that I cook. I'd love to say I have, but I haven't. What they do love, though, and what we all love as a family, which is a proper Slimming World favourite as well, is pizza top chicken with some Slimming World chips and some kind of salad on the side. Oh, that tends to go down well. Yeah, that they love that. I love the flavours in it.
Oh,
the
it's kind such of, a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, and I tend to make as well, because the pizza top chicken, if you've not had it, has got like a tomato-y based like pizza topping sauce that goes on top. What I tend to do is make quite a lot of that so that I've got that in the freezer, so that I just need the chicken breasts. I can then get some of that out, pop that on top of the chicken.
Do they decorate it? My little girl does her own. Mm. She likes it, keeps her busy.
Yeah, well, that's
as long as you don't touch the raw chicken breast, we're all right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I probably would serve. Also with the salad, because my daughter will only eat raw vegetables at the moment.
Oh, really?
Because she claims if they're cooked, they're too soggy. Maybe that's something against the way that I cook them.
Yeah.
So you've got to adapt, haven't you? Have different things.
Love it.
So that would be what we'd have around the table, if that would be all right.
Yeah, you could do it with a vegan corn fillet too.
Or we could. Yeah. True, I should have adapted. Yeah.
Can't do corn.
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower steak.
Yeah, cauliflower steak. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Doesn't it?
Sounds brilliant. Right. When are we coming?
Yeah. Let's go.
It's been really interesting to talk to you. I mean, I say this from many people who be listening, like, just to get an insight into what goes behind it. I definitely will be reading the articles, reading the magazine with just a little slightly different perspective, knowing, like, oh, wonder what they were doing and how many calls and how long that took
the work that goes on behind the scenes. I think it's incredible, isn't it?
I think that's what I'm finding as this podcast is, you know, for the first time now that we're sponsored by Slimming World, to kind of come into this place and speak to you and really get an insight into what's behind the name, you know, the swirly Slimming World brand is just really fascinating. So thank you so much. We've thrown a million questions at you.
You've been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
Well, my mind was like... boggled over some of the things that she said, like in a good way,
wasn't it?
Like, I didn't know that there's more sugar in fruit at certain times of the year.
I mean, that just blew me away.
Yeah,
I just didn't even think about that. But then the interesting fact that the sugar's bound up within the cells and actually it comes together and is really good for you, that I found that so interesting and so like, oh my god. But it makes sense, doesn't it?
Though what was also interesting is that she said that they put the food optimising plan over to the British Nutrition Foundation and said, here you go, look at it independently from us, let us know what you think. And then to kind of go and make the tweak for adding the extra calcium. I thought, that's why they did that. Because I think sometimes we just kind of turn up at group and they're like, right, blueberries are speed.
Yeah, like we've made it up. Yeah. But I think, isn't that exciting that... just by having the ability to go and get that research checked out or the information checked out, we got more cheese. Like, bonus. That really made my day.
Yeah. What did you think? What did you learn from that?
Well, I always knew about when food optimizing was compared to a calorie-controlled diet that we came out hands down as being kind of, you still get a better weight loss. But what really interested me was the fact that what food optimizing does is almost educate you about making better choices. Because when I've done calorie controlled diet, I would pick the crisps and the chocolate. But actually, when you food optimize, you're led towards the protein and the vegetables and the pasta and stuff like that. So I think the fact that that's just been certified makes it even more kind of impactful, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it reiterates the idea of being able to eat more but still lose weight.
Yeah.
I mean, healthier. What slimmer doesn't want to eat more food? It's the starving that used to do my head in.
But it's, I think there's the fear of that, eating that food. And I think that's where a lot of people come in, don't you? And it takes a few weeks to lose that fear. As you see the weight come off, you go, oh, actually, this does work. Because it makes sense. Eat less, lose more. But actually, eat more, lose more.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the one thing that I think I have definitely picked up, especially since I've been vegan, is looking at the labels a little bit more and starting to see, well, what's in them. So when she was talking about the hidden sugars, the hidden salts,
yes.
Like, I mean, how many of us, we just pick up the package. For years, I just looked at how many calories and how much fat is in it.
Yeah, the colours I looked at, like, is it red on fat? Is it red on calories? Yeah.
But actually now looking, well, what's in the ingredients of this stuff? Like, does it have the word sugar?
Does it have loads of rubbish in it? I got Daisy some ready-made mash the other day and it had sugar, fourth ingredient down.
Really?
Mash. What's that about? You know, but I should have made it my own mash, but, you know, couldn't be bothered type thing. But you just wouldn't think about those things, would you? And I think when she talks about the fact that wine hasn't got calories on it yet in the supermarkets, but can you imagine how different we'd look at wine if you picked up a bottle and it said 1,000 calories?
Yeah.
You might put it down, mightn't you?
Mm.
It's interesting. I just found, like, her, how she'd been with Slim World for so long and how her kind of job had revolved at Slimming World. And, you know, you could feel her passion, couldn't you, for making sure people were healthy and this plan was the best it could be.
You know, you've been going into head office for, like, quite some time.
Mm,
so you kind of get the vibe of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what I thought, well, what surprised me is that I didn't realise how much people at head office actually go to groups and sit and listen to members, sit next to and hear the conversations that are happening in groups. And that really fills me with hope, because I suppose a little part of me was hoping there wasn't going to be this disappointment. As we became sponsored by Slimming World, I was like, oh God, like, you know, they say you should never meet your hero or something. I was thinking, oh, am I going to be really disappointed to, like, find out that nobody has ever been a member, no one's ever been to a group? But actually, the whole thing is quite cyclical.
And so many people who are consultants work at head office. So many people have started their lives as consultants or have just been into groups. You will see certain groups will have people that visit, and, you know, I've had people that have come down. You know, if you've got a group close to head office, you are used to having people popping in and seeing it, because I don't think you could understand that amazing gift that is group unless you'd been in it, could you? So I don't think you could work for a company like Slim World unless you'd seen and felt that and touched it and, you know, heard about Questless Quiche and, you know, Star Week.
The thing that I remember, though, doing things like, I mean, meal replacements was one of the ones that I did for ages, and I just remember doing it at home alone.
Yes.
Feeling quite miserable, feeling like I was depriving myself, always feeling hungry. I had headaches a lot. I just felt exhausted. And I was going through it on my own, you know, with no kind of support network.
No.
And, I mean, it's easy to kind of see why doing a plan like Slimming World would be so much more appealing than that.
Because it's not just the food. I think that's a really important thing to recognise. If anybody's not a group member and is thinking about it, or is struggling doing it, not being a group member, getting to group is that, like, last bit of the jigsaw that puts it all together. I really believe that. Because I think, you know, anybody can follow a food plan for a few weeks, but could they follow it for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Could they lose that weight on their own? I mean, very few people that can do it on their own.
Yeah. I can't remember if I said it the other week on one of the other episodes.
How amazing I am.
Yeah, clearly you're amazing.
One,
yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say, Anna. In my new place where I'm living, I was walking down the street and I bumped into a couple of people from the group. And that day I hadn't gone to that group because I went to the gym instead. And they were like, oh no, are you okay? Why didn't you come? And it was just like, just to kind of bump in and see someone and, like, kind of, I don't know, it kind of kept me accountable and felt part of the community. And, you know, we've kind of said about me moving to a new group, and sometimes you forget, when you really know people in your group, how if you've had a bad week, they know the background to your story. And sometimes what you miss when you go to a group at first or you're new is people don't know your backstory. And that can be really difficult.
Yeah.
But it really reminded me, like, how important it is to kind of
get to know them,
throw yourself into these groups and help others and tell them about your story, and then you're held accountable. And me walking down the street with my bike and bump into them and they're like, we didn't see you,
get to group.
They weren't even consultants, you know. But I remembered their story, and for just that, I, you know, I walked the rest of the journey home with a big smile on my face, feeling like they stopped, they talked to me, and I know them. And
so much more, isn't it?
That's different, because then you want to go back to group and you want to go and keep losing because you feel like, you're connected. And I never got that in the meal replacements package ever.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? This is so much more than just food. It's about your mindset and about the friendships you form, that support system you get.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Anyway, this advertising message is now off.
No, but I think, you know what I love when we go to head office, we get this little injection, don't we? And I think what Carolyn really inspired us with was the work that goes on behind the scenes to make sure that, you know, people who are diabetic or breastfeeding or pregnant or got any health concerns are safe. That, you know, if anything does change, like a blueberry becomes a speed food, we bring that to you. If you can have more cheese, we're going to bring it to you. Anything that we can do to make your weight loss better, we're going to do. And I think it's just really nice to go and see that other side and speak to people who have really interesting jobs that maybe you've never thought were being done. I just it was really nice when we got talked about what she does in a day.
Oh, and also, you know, at the start of our conversation, we said we wondered if it was a jacket potato.
It was
and a bit of shepherd's pie for
I had the shepherd's pie, it was good.
And I had spicy pasta thing. Ooh. That was the vegan option. So
but they made their potato so crispy on the top, and it wasn't with putting anything on, it was just the way that they'd forked it.
Wow. I asked, crispy forking. That's the headline, people. Don't fall for the fads. Keep your shepherd's pie crisply forked.
I snorted.
Has that tickled you? Has that really tickled you?
No, because
you snorted. Oh my god, you can't take this girl anywhere. Thank god there's no one else in the room. I see why they boxed it off.
We're in a swinging box by all accounts.
Look, I'm just focusing on the pretty view behind me.
Okay.
I mean, right now your view is beautiful. It's got me, it's got a beautiful window, blue sky. Life is good, right?
Isn't it? Just the best.
Oh dear. Anyway, this is the point when we have to end it because it escalates. Look, what we've got coming up next week, it's the one that so many of you have been asking for. It's the one about Slim for Life. It's for Target members.
Woohoo.
It's this mythical place that I've never been before, but somehow I've now got to talk about for a whole episode.
Do you think it's got unicorns and fluffy cats and lots of chocolate?
I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get there.
By the end of 2020, you'll be on that cloud.
In 8 years, I've never been a Target member of Slimming World. But we're going to talk about it. I'm going to go find out. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it look like? What does it feel like?
What is in that mythical Slim for Life book that I keep seeing wafted around with
chocolate.
Other members?
Yeah.
It basically says, right now you can eat whatever you want.
Here's 87 little chocolate bars.
That's what I'm hoping it says, but I don't think so.
No, I really don't think it's going to say that, darling. No.
So anyway, that one's coming up for next week. Do make sure, as we said earlier, that you subscribe and you follow. You can rate and review us. And then send us your emails. You know, we're always looking for ideas of things that you want to find out about for any kind of content ideas. Or even we'll just use some of them for listeners' questions. You can always send them anonymous if you want to as well. Just tell us. Don't read my name.
Big writing.
Or make up a name.
Oh, I like
what
that.
What name would you like to be if you could have any other name?
Ooh. Clorinda.
Clorinda.
I don't know where that came.
Clanna. That's what we are.
Clorinda. Sounds a bit mysterious, maybe a bit dodgy.
It sounds a bit weird. It sounds right.
Why, what would you be called?
Hashtag
Dorothy?
Clorinda. Dorothy? What?
What would you be called?
I did have this thing that when I went to uni, I thought I can be whoever
I
want.
Oh my god, my friend did that.
And I was like, do I actually want to just use my middle name?
Oh, what's that?
It's Elizabeth.
Oh.
I was like, should I call myself Beth?
Oh, you're then, such a Bev.
Then as soon as I got to my accommodation, two blocks down.
It was
someone who I went to school with. And I was like, no, I'm going to have to just be Claire. It's not the end of the world, is it?
We all used to have aliases when we were teenagers. I remember one of my best friends was called Jasmine. And then you'd shout Jasmine down the road and she'd never turn around because she forgot her fake name.
Anyway, this is a Slimming World podcast. Thanks for listening to Clorinda and Beth. And come see us on Instagram soon. We're normally a little bit less weird. I'm lying. We're really weird all the time. Have a great one, though. Enjoy your food.
Bye for now.